And always appreciate him calling in. And we're going to go ahead and continue this thing on and keep the show going. So, as always, we got Rat Pack Sports Show, Mr. William Gray's on the line, and my guy been on actually for a minute, but we had Nicholas Lane segment going, and my guy was, very patient and waiting for his segment to be over, but we got him on now, Mr. William Gray's. What's going on, brother?
Oh, man, nothing. You know, it's always very informational when Nicholas Lane comes on. I mean, just his outright knowledge of the NBA. I am, you know, I really do think it's safe to say that I put him in that top category. I would even put him, to me, he is our Blake Cole of the NBA. The Nicholas Lane has probably more knowledge about the NBA than I would say 90% of the people that are on TV. And that's not an exaggeration. That's not being partial just because he's part of our group. It's just outright facts. I think I've learned more about today's basketball from him than I have sitting here watching these people on ESPN or any of these other stations. I always enjoy listening to him talk.
Yeah, man. It's always great, and we talk about it all the time, and we have Blake Cole on with baseball a long time ago. You guys are not really some of you newer listeners are not really familiar with Blake Cole. But he was another one of those too smart. And I knew Blake Cole eventually, would move on and do his own thing because he was just at that level. Nicholas Lane is at that level. Boss Hogg is at that level to where they just know they craft. You know what I'm saying? And it's I put those guys up against, like you said, and I'm not exaggerating about this. I will put those guys up against most people on TV today. Because I'm gonna be real. Most of the people on TV today, they get paid for shock value. They don't get paid for their knowledge of the game. They get paid for their shock value. What can I say? What can I talk about that's going to bring listeners? That's going to engage listeners, even if they got to go off the script, not off the script because it's all scripted, but just for the entertainment value instead of just being informative and giving you information that you want to hear.
Here's the thing with that too. I don't think a lot of these basketball shows are really that entertaining. I'm sorry, but the most in, but the best basketball show on TV, NBA wise, is TNT's.
Yeah, and half the time they're not even talking basketball. It's the comedy that comes with it, the entertainment value.
Yeah, but I mean, the thing is that they're not even trying.
No, it's so natural.
They're really not. And you know, and here's the other thing. You know, we talked about Blake Cole, we talked about Nicholas Lane, but we can't forget Boss Hogg Sean Naylor.
Yes.
Year after year, Sean Naylor with the fantasy football. Okay. Now, I know that we draw back and forth, and it's all in good fun in the chat group. But here a couple years ago, when I won our championship and everything, 90% of that was, well, no, I'll even say 99% of that was Boss Hogg Sean Naylor's starting six for the NFL. Again, one of our guys that it's not an over exaggeration. The man knows what he's talking about when it comes to fantasy football and professional football in general. Folks, like I said, we're not being partial here. We are just going by straight facts because we all said and we all watched the same shows backwards and forth. And when I say that our guys are better than most of those guys on TV, and I will say this, that they could hold their own with any of those people on TV, it's not an exaggeration. But before I forget, I just wanted to publicly congratulate your daughter on her achievement with her basketball. That's awesome, man. It is really awesome, and it's a testament to her hard work.
Oh yeah, man, appreciate it. You know, it's we've known each other now for almost, you know, 8-9 years. You know, between,
yeah, going on 10, man.
Meeting on Facebook through sports, and then us talking sports, and then you joining the Rat Pack family, and then now we consider each other, you know, family. So,
oh yeah, absolutely.
There's a lot of things, you know, behind the scenes we talk about in our, you know, chat groups that are never, you know, go public on this show because a lot of it is personal with us.
Mm-hmm.
Not even related to sports, but you guys know the journey. You guys know, you know, what has been the last few years, sports wise, and you know, a lot of hard work, dedication, blood, sweat, and tears going into this. And you know, for a while it was nobody knew, you know what I'm saying? She's you know, we let her kind of make her own decision. So it was kind of last minute. One minute she wasn't sure what she wanted to do, and then you know, a week from tonight, you know what I'm saying? Well,
yep.
A week from last Sunday, because I text you guys in the group a week from this past Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
We was at a little going away party for her friend, one of her best friends that also plays basketball, and the school her friend was going to was interested in, you know, both of them coming there, and she kind of didn't know what she wanted to do, so she kind of, you know, put the whole recruitment stuff on hold. But, you know, when she went to that party, she kind of caught me off guard. I know her mom was caught off guard, but she decided she wanted to go and play basketball. So in about 4 days, we had to scramble and get everything together and get her ready to go and get her, you know, signed up for school and classes and registration and, you know, financial aid and all that stuff. And the coaches and the administration staff over there went in overtime to make it happen. They made it happen. 4 days later, we was in the car driving, you know, driving to drop her off at the school, man. It was an adventurous week last week. And
Well, you know, I can't speak for the rest of the Rat Pack, but you know, when you put that in and everything, and you know, and you was like, sorry guys, I'm not going to be able to do a show this Wednesday because, you know, we're going up to take her to school and everything. And man, when something like that happens and all that, man, look, we understand, we get it. I mean, you know, but no, that was just really awesome news to hear. And, you know, I know you are not going, you're not the type of guy to take credit on other people's achievements, but I am just going to say this, that this is also a testament to your coaching abilities and, you know, and how much time and effort you put in to these young women and the sport of basketball. So, you know, not only as her father, but also as her coach. I mean, man, you've got to be proud, and you should be proud of yourself for the achievements of setting these women on the right path and having them going forward and everything. So, I mean, I think you need to take a little bow with all this, man. I really do. You are probably one of the most dedicated individuals that I've seen to an organized sport that is not college or professional. So congratulations, man. Seriously.
Yeah, I appreciate it, man. You know me. I don't brag. I don't use social media to, you know, to pump myself up or anything like that, because that's just not me. But, you know, I've been, you know, coaching now for a while, since, you know, my daughter was sixth grade. I've had the ability to coach a lot of different kids. From that age all the way up through, you know, now where I'm at the high school level, being a part of developing, you know, basketball players from fundamental base ground level, you know, aspect. And this past year was really the culmination of a lot of hard work, you know, just working with kids. And this is my, you know, first class of like graduating seniors that I've dealt with, you know, coaching, which in my circles of what I do, travel basketball wise, the goal is always, you know, the next level. So, you know, not only with my daughter, but you have, you know, a best friend, You got a couple other girls that she played with. One, two, three. So maybe almost like a total of five kids from the team that I had together last, all their junior year, because they was all in the same grade. All of those young ladies and the hard work that they put in and dedication they had to the game of basketball, and their dreams were accomplished. They're all, you know, I tell my assistant coach all the time, you know, we're going to spend a lot of time watching, you know, a lot of basketball games, because we got five girls from our organization that'll be playing college basketball, you know, this coming season. So, you know, it's just one of those things. True. You know, we try to do. We're not a big organization. We're a small organization, a lot smaller than a lot of these other bigger organizations. But I kind of like it that way, because you can really deal with these, you know, kids on a more individual, mm-hmm. you know, one-on-one level, instead of navigating, you know, through 50 to 100 kids. And, you know, it's tough, man. You know, spending a lot of emailing back and forth with, you know, colleges and coaches, and sending out film to schools and making sure, you know, the kids are, you know, up to date on they, you know, just, it's a process. It's a process, and it's long and it's drawn out. And nobody really understands that amount of time that's put into any of that, man. It is tough. I'm not done. I got another handful coming out from this team we had this year. And then the next year after that, it'll be another group of girls. So it's just one of those things, man. I enjoy doing it. I enjoy coaching and building these relationships with these kids and they families, with them just, you know, trusting me with their daughters in this journey to pursue basketball at the next level. And, you know, this here is just like a culmination of a lot of years of hard work from these kids that dedicated their, you know, basketball livelihood to me and my coaches over the last, you know, 3-4 years. So
Like I said, man, again, congratulations.
Appreciate it, man. Appreciate it. I just kind of, you know, to me, I'm just, you know, doing what I made a promise. I don't make many promises, but I just, you know, when I make a promise to these kids that I'm a, you know, go to bat for them and do everything that I can to help them achieve their goal. And that's the only thing I can do. It's the only promise I can make. I can't make any more, but I can promise that I'm going to do my best. So I appreciate you throwing that out there, man. And
No, not a problem, man.
You know, that's just what it is. In between doing, you know, the Rat Pack Sports Show, and these guys know, man, I be in the test group. Hey, man, I'm out. I got to do this. I'm traveling here. I'm traveling there. You know, it was a long ride to where we was going. Was in the car for about 20 hours. Well, actually, no, 16 hours one way. So Saturday, I drove back, and Sunday, dude, I didn't feel like doing nothing. I was here, but I was.
I didn't feel
like doing nothing on Sunday.
Look, they're, like I said, there ain't nobody that blames you. I mean, I'll even be honest with you, man. I was actually kind of surprised you was even up in the draft.
Oh, I'm not missing.
I'll be completely honest with you, man. I was like, Derek about to go on auto pick.
Man, that I did not want to do. Hey, I seen y'all early in the day posting about the draft in the group, and I was like joking with you, you know, about you even showing up. You think I'm finna not show up and go on auto pick so I can get picked on for the next year? No, I'm not doing that.
Hey, but you know what, man? I tell you what, some of these players that was on auto pick, man. I tell you what, some of them kind of threw me a little bit of a curveball for my draft plans and everything and all that. But you know, I'll admit, I'm actually pretty happy with my draft. I really am.
Yeah, I had a buddy of mine. It was 10 people in the league, and I want to say 8 of us showed up. We had 2 people on auto pick, and one of them was my buddy. He wasn't. He forgot about the drive. He wasn't home, and his team ended up not looking that bad. And he was the Florida Silverhawks. That's my boy, Los. But he ended up, he's got a little squad. He's got a little team. I mean, for an auto pick, you just take it. You know what I'm saying? Quarterback-wise, he might be hurting a little bit because they only auto picked 1 QB, and that quarterback was Jalen Hurts. I know he wouldn't have went with Hurts as his quarterback.
Yeah, for sure.
But hey, my man, if you're listening, I got 2 guys. I got Joe Burrow, and I got Josh Allen from Buffalo. So send me something. We can talk. We can talk, man. I mean. I got some value. I can tell you, I got some value we can give up. But, you know, his team not bad. He got Hurts. He got Najee Harris. I don't know who this Elijah Mitchell guy is from San Francisco, but he's got Cooper Kupp. He's got T. Higgins, good second guy. He's got Mark Andrews.
Mm-hmm.
He's got A.J. Brown. He's got
he's the one that messed that up for me.
Oh, you was looking up for Mark Andrews?
Man, look, I really did not want Kyle Pitts. I'll be completely honest with you, man. Look, Falcon fans, well, I'm about to drop a little bit of knowledge on you, and this is not because I'm a Buccaneer fan or anything like that, but man, he's you all in for a long season.
Hey, he's kind of small now. He's kind of small.
Man, you. Man, look. I think Kyle Pitts will be all right for me. I did draft another tight end, and I'll be honest with you. I really wasn't even looking at him up until I forget when I actually took him, but the more I started looking at it and everything, and with the offense that I really think Seattle's going to be running this year, I think he is a dark horse candidate, and I believe that Carlton Cook even brought it up in the chat room that he could be a dark horse candidate, and that's their tight end, Noah Fant. I do not think that the offense that we have seen Seattle run in the past, I don't think it's going to be the same offense this year. I really don't. I don't see the quarterbacks that they have on the roster as being capable of doing the stuff that Russell Wilson once did for Seattle. I'm sorry. I just do not see it.
I mean, to me, Pitts is, you know, it got him listed as a tight end. I'm not so sure he's a tight end. He's very small.
To me, he's more of a slot receiver.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I was going to say. To me, he looks more like a receiver. And I think on, you know, NFL level, he's too small for a tight end.
Yeah. By the way, speaking of receivers, I got a bone to pick with you.
Oh, you mad because I took Chris Godwin, man? Hey.
Man.
Dude, I had to take a receiver.
What you doing? What you doing?
Listen, I had to take a receiver for a couple reasons. Number one.
Man, how much flack did you give me last year for taking Chris Godwin?
Man, listen.
Mm-hmm.
The way I drafted, right? The way I drafted, I took two running backs with my first two picks. Because I was drafting eighth, you know, in the snake draft, you draft eighth, and then you turn right back around and you draft 12th. And then you don't get another pick for seem like you wait two rounds to get another pick. So I was like, man, the one position where I know if I don't get my guys early, I'm going to be dead the whole season without any backs. So I took my first two picks. I took backs with my first two picks. Now, I didn't take Godwin until maybe like the fifth or sixth round.
I'm pretty sure it was the fifth because I actually thought about taking him in the third round. I was like, man, no, I can't be doing that.
Well, to think about it though, man, you know, you could have. I mean, he's injured, but I don't think he's going to be out for that long.
Well, as far as I know, he was participating in training camp.
Yeah, he's been participating in training camp. Yeah, he has been participating in training camp, so he may be there.
Now I want to talk about another former Buccaneer receiver, and you know, and this was something that I posted up in the chat group. That we released Tyler Johnson, and you know, and I voiced my displeasure with that, and you know, you made the comment, well, who are you going to keep him over? And you know, and the thing is, and I said this in the chat room, you know, Tampa Bay has this stigma to them where I'm sorry, man, but they kind of like rent a center. They go out and they rent these players for 1 or 2 years, and they kind of let the younger talent go, you know. And my thing is look, I'm sure Julio Jones is going to be good for us, but can you honestly sit there and say that you would keep a guy that's only going to be with our team one, maybe 2 years? I mean, I'm leaning closer to one. Would you really want to keep him on the roster over somebody that has the potential to be a second or third receiver on our team?
As I said, man, it's a matter of, you know, what exactly you're looking, you know, you're looking for.
Well, I can tell you that Tampa Bay, and I said this earlier this year, to me, Tampa Bay is on a Super Bowl or bust mission this year. Because this is going, look, Buccaneer fans, you all can hope, you all can pray, whatever it is you all want to do. But the fact remains that I am 99.9999% sure this is Tom Brady's last year as a Buccaneer. Okay, this is going to be the last year for a little bit that I really see us as a Super Bowl contender, and I think that's what Tampa Bay is looking at, is that we've had a couple of great years with arguably one of the best players to ever strap on the pads, and you know, and after this year, he's probably going to be done in Tampa.
Yeah.
Now I can't say 100% because look, he could change his mind again. Do I think he will? No. I really don't. I think that there is a potential that he may go down to Miami and play for the Dolphins one year and try to bring some of that magic to the Dolphins. And the Dolphins maybe possibly win a Super Bowl, but I think ultimately, I think he's going to be a member of the Dolphins ownership group, and he's going to settle into that little cushy job that he has with, who was it, Fox Sports? Is that who it was?
Yeah.
He's already signed his contract with Fox Sports. They're giving him an obscene amount of money. The guy already has. Not that he even needs it, but look, that's kind of his 401k right there.
Yeah.
And yeah. So no, Tampa is on a Super Bowl or bust mission this year. So I understand the bringing in the Julio Jones. I understand bringing in the Kyle Rudolph and everything. They're going, I think they're going to be good for us, but I'm just kind of getting kind of tired of being that rent-a-center of the league, because honestly, that's what I feel like we are.
To a certain extent, you know, I think, you know, this is what it is until they figure out, you know, what they want to do long term. I mean, they've pretty much, you know, gone out on a limb and made these commitments to, you know, Tom Brady. And as long as Brady is here, you're really going to be in that situation where you're going to have to go for it, because Brady isn't here to – he's not here to just go to the playoffs. So no. Until Brady is you know what I'm saying, he's going after the whole thing. You got to be all in, right, too. If you're not all in with Brady here, then you got a problem on your hands. And that's just the way it is.
Oh yeah. And you know, and I mean, if you're not all in, then Brady is going to pick up camp, and he's going to go elsewhere.
Yeah.
And you know, and I've been talking to a few people, and they actually kind of think that is what part of the problem was in New England, is that they were trying to rebuild, and they didn't want to go after these free agents and stuff like that to for Brady, you know, to make that Super Bowl run. And while I understand that, because, you know, I understand that you have got to constantly be retooling and actually bringing in, you know, the players that you need for long-term success. So I understand the Patriots' position, but also by the same token, when you have a player that now has more rings than any single franchise in the NFL, and you're just going to kind of let that walk out the door. Yeah. Look, I understand it and I get it, but the thing, but with Tampa and everything, I just think that we need to get back to building a franchise. And, you know, and I mean, while I understand the whole Tom Brady factor and everything, I understand, I get it. I just think we made a huge mistake by letting Tyler Johnson go. I really do.
Well, to me, you know, I just kind of look at it like this. Johnson is a young receiver that's still trying to find himself. And he just hasn't, you know, been consistent enough to beat out a guy in Scotty Miller, which they may trust a little bit more. And I think that's, you know, that's really all it boils down to is trust. They trust, you know, Scotty Miller more than everybody else. The guys that he was fighting for, and, you know, he hasn't made. He's been consistent, and he's in with a team like of Chris Godwin, Mike Evans, and Julio Jones. You still need that mix of, you know, speed. Scotty Miller is fast. He's probably one of our fastest players on the team. So you still want that element of stretching the field. And there's nobody in our receiving room that's faster than Scotty Miller at this point. Maybe Julio. Maybe. Darden, I'm not so sure about. You know, he does have some speed, but everybody on the team in the receiving room would tell you Scotty Miller is the fastest guy on the roster. Well, one of the fastest.
Oh, man, look.
And I think that's why Scotty Miller earned that spot, because they you know, you don't have to spend time teaching Scotty Miller the playbook. You don't have to spend time with Scotty Miller of, you know, fine-tuning the details. He's a great route runner. You know, Brady, if you're not running your routes, Brady don't trust you. So That's what I think, you know, that's what I think it is. I just think it's a trust factor. And this, I have been trying to tell people this for, like, the whole preseason, because people kept saying, well, Scotty Miller's time has finally come up because, oh, I like Tyler Johnson, I like Darden. I'm like, this man, this is the preseason. And Scotty Miller in the preseason, he dropped some passes. But you can go and look at film of Scotty Miller over the last three years, playing in some prominent moments for the Buccaneers and making plays. You know, before Antonio Brown came to this roster, our deep threat was Scotty Miller. And Brady was hitting him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, once Antonio Brown got here, Scotty Miller rode the menace, obviously. That's why you bring a guy like Antonio Brown here to make plays. So Scotty Miller moved down in the depth chart. Mm-hmm. He still made a few plays here and there when his number was called, but, you know, he sat. He's a team guy. You don't have to worry about his attitude. He's going to do whatever you tell him to do. You can utilize him in punt returns because he's done that. So you can use him in other ways, not just, you know, on the field. He plays special teams, punt coverage, kick coverage, you know, return punts. So he's not just a receiver. Everybody else couldn't see that. This is what I'm trying to get everybody else to realize. Scotty Miller does more than just play wide receiver for this team.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't understand that part.
Well, you know, because the thing is that, you know, with Scotty Miller, again, like you said, the punt returns, you know, I even think he might be okay at the kickoff returns. And, you know, and when you do need some of those clutch plays, I mean, let me rephrase that. There are very few other receiving corps that I would want on the field besides the receiving core that Tampa has.
Yeah.
And, you know, and while, yes, I am upset that we did get rid of Tyler Johnson, I really am, but I also look at our receiving core, and I do think we're going to be okay. I really do, as far as receiving core-wise. Now, our offensive line, different story, because I've heard a lot of good things about this this backup center that we have.
Mm-hmm.
I hear that the dude is a real deal. I hear that that all through training camp and all through preseason, that the guy has showed up and showed out. So I mean, you know, I'm very anxious for what is it? Not this coming Sunday, but next Sunday, Buccaneers first game playing in Dallas. I do think that, you know, again, you know, Dallas always seems to give us trouble. And, you know, and I mean, this is not slouch team or anything like that. I mean, they are the reigning NFC East champion. You know, I mean, they constantly find ways to be good. And as the season goes on, you know, I mean, they always seem to find a way to get better and better and actually win. And again, I'm glad we have them at the beginning of the season. Because I do think that they will be more of a threat coming down the road. I do think that we are pretty lucky that we get to see them the first game of the year. Now, will I say it's an automatic win? No, I never will, because in the NFL there is nothing guaranteed. But I do think our chances are a little bit better. I did want to ask you one question, and it was something that was said in one of the groups, but do you think that Bruce Arians is still calling the shots as far as coaching for the Buccaneers?
I'm not sure, man. I know he's still involved. I mean, he's still, like, highly involved in a lot of stuff. At, I just don't know what all he's in charge of.
Well, the reason I ask is because I'm just kind of curious how Todd Bowles feels about that. Because, I mean, when you're kind of given that head coaching spot, you know, you kind of want to make it your team.
Yeah.
And when you have somebody that it almost seems like he's kind of looking over your shoulder, I mean, is that really a healthy work environment?
No, but, I mean, maybe, you know, Bruce Arians has already, put it in Bowles' ear that, hey, I am done. I'm not coming back to coaching, so you don't have to worry about, you know, me, in your ear and all of that.
No, it's just something that was kind of said in one of the groups, and I mean, don't get me wrong, I love Bruce Arians, I love his attitude and everything, that no risk it, no biscuit thing.
I like
the fact that he's willing to take chances, but when, I mean, you really don't see special advisors and stuff like that really giving press conferences. And that's why, it kind of caught me off guard when he did that whole little interview segment and everything and all that. I was like, man, really? I mean, don't get me wrong, I loved it. But, just kind of one of those things where this guy's comment really started getting me to think. So just wanted to get your opinion on it.
Nah, I think Todd Bowles would be okay. I'm not sure if that is something that he has to worry about per se, because I think, like I said before, I think it might have been established from the beginning that, hey, this is your team. I'm not, stepping in. You make your calls. And that, that is that.
Like I said, it was something that was mentioned, and just kind of wanted to get your take on it. Now, something else that has happened since we actually had our last show, and I want to get your feed on this. So here, a couple weeks ago, Aaron Rodgers came out and said the receivers had to get better.
Yeah.
And then right after that, receivers had a private meeting with the quarterbacks. Now, with this, do you think that Aaron Rodgers might have stepped over the line by making that comment?
I don't know the whole concept or the question he asked. I don't think he stepped out of line. If the context of the question was about, having a young group of receivers and those guys having to step up, to the table, to the plate and make plays, or this question is based off of what happened in the preseason game where they were dropping, passes or whatnot. Everything is, you know, context. So depending on how the question was asked and, you know, how Aaron Rodgers responded in his answer, you know what I'm saying, would then dictate the response. So at the end of the day, to a lot of people, it might seem like a out of line response. We don't know what was said in that meeting room to Aaron Rodgers or, you know, the other guys. But is it any different from when, you know, Tom Brady and the offense of the Buccaneers are struggling and, you know, they're on the sideline after punting the ball and you see Tom Brady lighting into his offense? To me, it's no different because you're still doing it in the public eye where people can see it. Tom Brady just wasn't asked the question, but you can visibly see, you know, him lighting into his offensive line, lighting into, you know, guys that he may be making the throws and they not making the plays. He may be making the right checks at the offensive line and the lineman not picking them up. So,
okay. Yeah, and I get what you're saying, but you know, when you're in the middle of a game.
Yeah.
I mean going to them on the sidelines and lighting into them. That's about as private as it's going to get. Mm-hmm. I mean, during a game.
Yeah.
Well, it is Aaron Rodgers. And, you know, and I do think that he does have the right to say that, hey, our receivers need to get better and everything. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking that maybe he should have rephrased that answer by saying, you know, something along the lines of, you know, we got some stuff to work out and everything and all that. Make it a general answer and everything, because I mean, one could actually say that Aaron Rodgers was throwing his receivers under the bus. Now, when it's private in the locker room or in the meeting room, yeah. If he really feels like the receivers need to get better and it's one of those things where it's not in front of reporters, it's in a meeting room or it's in the locker room. Yeah. Aaron Rodgers has every right to go up to the receivers and be like, hey, you guys have got to get better. But I think doing that in public, I don't think it sets the right tone.
No, it may not. You might have a good point there. It just depends on, you know, how you choose to handle it and deal with it.
Well, I mean, you know, like I said, I mean, it is Aaron Rodgers. I mean,
you got to roll the red carpet out for Rodgers, man. You know that.
Yeah, well, you know, like I said, I mean, Aaron Rodgers being Aaron Rodgers, I would have figured that he would have been that he would have made a little more of a general statement to reporters, because I mean, that's what he has been known for, is, you know, the general statements. And when he came out and he said that, I was like, oh, you know, ouch. But again, just kind of my take. What else you got, man?
Shoot, man. I'm not sure. I mean,
by the way, Sean Naylor needs to be fined again.
Yeah, he was on earlier. You know, his phone was, he was getting a lot of feedback and echo in his phone. And then he hung up and said, you know, I'll try to give you guys a call back later.
Sean Naylor, you are hereby fined.
You think he got the money, you know what I'm saying? He'll be all right.
Yeah, isn't he like athletic director of like Colorado State University now or something like that?
Yeah, somewhere like that.
That's what I thought. Oh, by the way, speaking of Tom Brady and everything, it is confirmed that he was notified today that he made the 53-man roster for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So congratulations to Tom Brady.
Such a shocker. Such a shocker.
Man, I'm telling you, the shock factor is there. Oh, there was something else that I wanted to ask you about. So this whole Dallas Cowboy quarterback situation where they're going to evaluate week to week Dak Prescott's backup QB, what do you think about that?
Tricky.
I mean, in a way, I mean, it's actually kind of interesting because from week to week, I mean, yeah, you prepare for Dak Prescott, but will they still do that if, you know, God forbid, Dak Prescott get hurt again? I mean, are they still going to do this little week-to-week evaluation thing? I mean, because one could say that it actually would be a genius move.
Yeah. No, I agree with what you're saying, man.
Just really interesting that they're only dressing one QB specifically.
So
what else?
I don't know, man. I mean, it's Wednesday night, and it's our first Wednesday back in a few weeks, yep. And just, you know, getting back into the groove and everything. You know, we got a couple seasons here coming up with your help. But this is what we're going to do, because we're in the last half, so we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to come back on the other side. We'll continue this conversation with myself and William Graves here on the Rat Pack Sports Show. We're live, and we'll be back.